Kate. I'm going to.
Thank you so much. What a blessing this service is for us all, I'm sure, on this Remembrance Day. Sometimes we call it Poppy Day, sometimes we call it Armistice Day. And it's a day that we have observed throughout the Commonwealth since the end of World War I. It's a day when we remember those that have lost their lives through their service to the armed forces, who have died in the line of duty. It's also a time to honour those who put their lives on the line serving their country. And I've really been challenged this week about how is my life Christ-centric. So today is an opportunity for us to remember Jesus. And thank you for choosing those superb songs of worship, Phil, because we have just been proclaiming what Jesus did on the cross. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us all. And this morning, I want us to remember the mission of Jesus, the mission that has been passed on to us. And so we're going to read together a very famous passage. If you go back one slide, please. We are going to read together Matthew chapter 28, the famous verses at the end of his gospel, verses 16 to 20. So I'm going to read those for us now. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let's pray as I bring this word to us. Oh Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that we are gathered in your name today. Though we be scattered in our homes, we recognize that together we are your body here on earth. And as we think about Remembrance Day, as we think about your Son, Jesus, as we think about his mission that he passed to us, Lord, I just ask that there'll be something here for each one of us as we open our minds, our hearts, our ears to you this morning. May you speak to us. May we hear from you. And may we put it into action. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, as I bring this that I've prepared, have fresh life. As I share it now, and in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, thank you for this picture that I'm showing you. This is a picture of just one story of bravery, courage, and sacrifice. And this is Brigadier Arthur Frederick Crane Nichols. He was from Aberdeen, just near Aberdeen, and he was a Cambridge-educated stockbroker. He stood at 5 foot tall, and he was a quiet, reserved, decent man. He was married with a 6-month daughter and a desk job in London when he volunteered to be part of the Special Operations Executive. Well, Churchill called the Special Operations Executive a job to set Europe ablaze. And so in 1943, on the 15th of October, shortly after 10 in the evening, Nichols was dropped by parachute to begin his mission. His mission was to assist, train, and build a formidable resistance force to beat the enemy in Eastern Europe. As his parachute touched the ground, it all began to go wrong. His team were ambushed and scattered. He was forced on the run and with no medical supplies or little food. He and his team spent November and December on the move, hiding in the accursed frozen mountains of Eastern Europe. Nichols wrote in his journal, "Our clothes are already standing out stiffly round us like boards, and every twig and branch is heavily covered in frost. To stand still for a moment is to court frostbite and death, and all feeling has left our hands and feet." But he had his orders, he had a mission, and he was determined to complete it. Submitting reports of enemy manoeuvres and positions to the Allied base, a mission of great strategic importance, a mission of great personal cost. In January 1944, he was in a terrible state. This is what a colleague wrote about him. Nichols' means of progression was to sit on his overcoat, his great coat, and to be pulled down the snow-covered and rocky mountainside. He later succeeded in obtaining a small mule, which was extremely painful since, owing to his height, his mutilated feet were continually dragging in the snow. He was now unable to get his boots on, and his feet were wrapped in roughly cured goat skins. Gangrene had set in, yet he never gave up. Nichols paid a great personal price for his act of courage and sacrifice. He made it to his mission, more than half starved, exhausted, his shoulder dislocated. Yet in despite of his physical condition, his fighting spirit was unimpaired. He began to discuss the organization of the mission and plans for future operations. He had gone beyond the limits of endurance. And sadly, he died from gangrene and heart failure on the 11th of February, 1944. He was just 5 days away from his 33rd birthday. Nichols was posthumously awarded the George Cross, and this was the quote about him. "He set an example of heroism, fortitude, courage, leadership, the will to win, and devotion to duty, which has seldom been equaled and never surpassed. He carried on far longer than could normally be considered humanly possible, and this undoubtedly caused his death." Next slide, please. 2,000 years ago, a man stood alone to complete his mission, to begin to build a new resistance force of people genuinely interested in fighting back to see the world changed. His mission, to build the bridge between God and humanity. This was an alternative resistance story with no backup plan. Resistance was needed because the enemy had invaded with the objective to get people to ignore God, to insist on their own independence, to do things their own way, to replace God with their own idols and to make their own gods. The enemy, Satan, the accuser, was driving home an attack to turn hearts and minds against God. But one man stood alone against him. He didn't fight back with a rifle or drop bombs. He exercised his power by allowing nails to be driven through his hands and feet. He exercised his power by facing a brutal execution process. And as he breathed his last breath on a wooden cross, he declared his mission was complete. It's over. It's finished. It's completed. Next slide. "No one has greater love than this, to lay down your life for your friends." This comes from John's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus completed his mission by enduring excruciating suffering, then dying for you, for me, for everyone. He completed his mission. We know him as Jesus. He stood in our place so that we can know peace with God. See, Otto Nichols carried out an incredible act of daring and heroism that helped to change the fortunes of a small country. The cross. The act of daring and heroism made a way for the whole human race. The cross. The sign that we were remembered by God. Today we remember Nichols or the thousands of other stories like his that remind us of the sacrifice courageous people like him made. Remembering the cross reminds us of a deeply personal creator who continually draws close to his people to bring freedom and life. The cross was of a God become man who passed his mission on to us. Next slide. Matthew's Gospel ends with Jesus passing on his mission to his people, to his church, to his disciples, to his followers. I'm sure you can know it by heart if you've journeyed with the Lord for a long time. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So wherever you go, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do everything I have commanded you. And remember that I'm always with you until the end of time. So the world is under Jesus' authority. He is now in power. He is in control, and he can shape the world to make it as it should be. He can exercise his authority. And I don't know about you, but you might be thinking, all authority given to Jesus? The world is under his authority, under his control? Can we truly say that? The world seems to be in a complete mess. We have this COVID-19 virus that seems out of control across the world. We've had terrorist acts in the last few weeks. Countries are in political upheaval, as we know from across the pond, but in other countries too, there's instability. We've had earthquakes and floods. Is Jesus really in control? Well, he has all authority to start putting the world right. The world is not as he intends it to be. He is bringing the world under his rule of life-giving love. He has the authority and he promises he will make all things new. So we believe in a hope for a better future. The world will be transformed from death, from greed, from corruption, from wickedness. We can believe his promise. This truth. So in the light of that, we do what Jesus tells us to do. The task he's given us is to make disciples. This is straightforward, but it's demanding. It's a command that is very clear. Make disciples. Jesus called the fishermen and made them learners. Little by little, they understood his way of life, his kingdom message. And now, followers, we also have the same responsibility of calling people to follow, to announce the good news in words and in deeds, to focus on Jesus, bringing people to faith and obedience. That is how he is beginning to show and is showing and will show his authority on the world. It's hard at the moment to talk about baptism as we're all in lockdown, but we just must remind ourselves perhaps of the day that we declared that Jesus was Lord of our lives as we passed through the waters of baptism. And if you are considering that that is what your path should be too, it's not an optional extra. Jesus says, be baptized. It's a command. However long or short you've walked with him, then consider that for post-lockdown to be baptized in water. He says, Jesus says we should teach others. And this Friday, we had a lovely call with friends of ours that have moved to Wales. And as we know, Wales has been in a stricter lockdown longer than us here in England for a few extra weeks, and goodness knows what the future holds. And there was a lovely picture of light. And this minister that we were talking to, she said she had this view of the church being the light in their community, but with the church building being closed, the light had scattered to all various houses. The light had been scattered. And what they have been doing in this period of lockdown is gathering in small groups geographically where their church is scattered to, meeting over Zoom and teaching each other, equipping each other. What are Jesus's commands? We've had this fantastic sermon series on the Beatitudes from Pastor Brian. Jesus challenges us that his kingdom requires topsy-turvy living, as the last becomes first and the least becomes the greatest. And so as we teach each other, those words can spread. We teach people a new way to live through our friendships and our relationships with them. In the way that we are scattered, we teach each other to hold each other to account, to cheer each other on our journey of faith. And just as in Wales, as in Merston, we can be together a community that is teaching the ways of Jesus. We know that the task is unfinished today. Instructions are held in place by the promises that came at the beginning of that passage. The promise that Jesus has all authority. The promise of Emmanuel, God with us. His presence sustains us. He says, I am always with you to the very end of the age. So it's right that today we remember those men and women who have laid down their lives in the service of their country. But let's never forget the greatest sacrifice of all, when Jesus gave up his life so that we might have the opportunity to receive peace with God and end the conflict with sin. Jesus on the cross, love divine or love excelling, a love for a fallen world. The death of Jesus ended the conflict with sin forever. His mission was completed. He who knew no sin was made sin for us upon that cross in order that we might be forgiven and have peace with God. This divine sacrifice calls us for a response. So let's take on the mission. Let's tell the world in words and deeds and the way that we shine for him about Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, life-changing Holy Spirit, Jesus, our friend, our commander, our brother, we pledge ourselves once again to you, to your service, to the service of our fellow men and women, that we may help, encourage, and comfort others. Lord, we pray that we may be effective in your mission. We commit ourselves to your cause of peace, of freedom, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. Lord, we ask that you guide us by your Spirit. Give us wisdom in these difficult days. Give us courage, give us hope. And Lord, may you keep us faithful now and always. And everyone said, Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.